Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Reno Mayor Hillary Sheevy for part one of our interview for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program the mayor of Reno, Hillary Sheevy. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
You had a big three-hour meeting on one of the hot topics this morning that's going on in Washoe County, which is the relocation of Hugg High School to the Wild Creek Golf Course. What can you tell us about this?
Well, you know, first of all, the public comment was really impressive. There were quite a bit of students, and then there were quite a bit of Wild Creek residents. And, you know, and that's never easy. You can certainly see both sides of the spectrum. And, you know, it was a piece of land that the RSCVA had. And we were voting on sending it back to the county to develop it for future high school.
And it's currently a golf course.
Right, and it's currently a golf course. And so, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of preparation, obviously on the school board side, on the county side, really kind of looking at that project. But and actually, they sort of came together and they'll keep nine holes and sort of came to this compromise, which was actually really nice. And there was a commissioner that said, you know, if you walk away unhappy and you walk away unhappy, then we've done our job. I don't necessarily know about that. And I think some of the people in the audience went, what? But, you know, it's always challenging. But I have to say, you know, now more than ever, we're experiencing all this growth. It's something that the RSCVA has lost millions of dollars being in the golf business. So that's been very challenging. And it's something that makes sense looking at, you know, the vision of how we're going to deal with these schools that have been so heavily impacted and strained and certainly stressed on being overcrowded. And we have to prepare and plan. And actually, in some ways, it will help with the infrastructure issues that we're already seeing out there. I mean, you can already tell there's quite a bit of traffic already out there. So it actually is. I think it's going to be positive, certainly for the long term.
And what we see, I think, in reality is that with growth, you see the new businesses arrive, and then you have to build the roads and you have to build the schools and everything. You can't do all that stuff in advance because the public wouldn't stand for government spending that kind of money.
Exactly. That's very, very true. But I think if anyone, this is why WC1 passed, right? I think if anyone went and toured some of these schools, and certainly Hugg High School, it really is, it's something like I've never seen before. And so I think, you know, we have to prepare for our future. And that's something I know that people sort of scoff at the price, but when it comes down to our students and education, that's priceless. And so we have to continue to keep thinking of how we're going to handle those challenges. So we'll see what happens. There's still some more things out on the table, like environmental impact studies, traffic studies, economic studies, that will need to be done. But I think, you know, they'll get there eventually. But those do need to be answered, too. It's not just that easy of a project, right? And you want to make sure that's the best possible site as well.
Could you give us an update on where things stand with your wish to hire a private attorney to perhaps pursue a lawsuit against the distributors of prescription pain pills?
Right. Tomorrow we actually have it on the agenda. We had spoken with a private attorney because we wanted to make sure, and this is really important for everyone to know, that it did not cost the city any money. This was all done on a contingency basis. So when we brought in that attorney who proposed this, who's been a very successful attorney.
Are you talking about Bill Bradley?
Well, I'm talking about Mr. Weatherall, Peter Weatherall.
Oh, okay.
So he was the original attorney that came in and offered to do this pro bono. And once we went out there and told the public what we were doing, then other people came in the space. And actually, in some ways, I think it's a positive thing. It allows Reno to get the best deal possible and sort of to negotiate with other firms what we can bring to the table. And maybe it's better to have a local attorney, you know. So we really wanted to go out there and make it transparent. And tomorrow we will look at doing that process of an RFP or an RFQ on which firms that we will look at hiring. I also think, too, looking at as a whole, we want Nevada to be as strong as we possibly can when it comes to fighting some of the big pharma, because they're so well-equipped with their attorneys. So we want to come in, obviously, together with some of the other counties and cities that are looking at doing this.
And when you say pro bono, you mean that they're not charging you, but they will work on a contingency fee that if there's a settlement, they will get somewhere in the range of 25% instead of the usual 40%.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we want people to know, because people are thinking, oh, how much is this costing the city? Well, it's not going to cost us anything. And we also want to make sure that the public knows that and that's on the record. So that's part of the vote for tomorrow.
So are you going to go into this suit in conjunction, like with Clark County, because Steve Sisolak said that they might they were considering a lawsuit too? Who's going to be a part of this lawsuit?
Right, and I think that's something that we want to explore. Again, I think all of us coming in, I think there's strength in numbers, so that's something that the council will discuss. Obviously, we haven't discussed it yet, so tomorrow you'll be able to, you know, find out what direction we want to go with, whether it's Weatherall or go with Eglet Prince, who's doing the one in Clark County. And, you know, and there's going to be talk that, you know, maybe we all come together and really strategize as one. So we're not all over the place and have different legal strategies. I think that's really important, again, because, you know, this is something that pharmaceutical companies are very familiar with. So we want to go in there with a lot of strength.
And what's your relationship on this with the Attorney General at this point?
He did not respond to my last letter, and, you know, and that's okay. You know, I understand, but
what did you say?
I will say that I've been disappointed. I think we all come in as one, as the Nevada family. And where I really want to stress is that it impacts the state and the city so differently, and different pots of money. So for me, it's our general fund, and it also affects my first responders and my police department, my fire department. And that's completely separate from the state. But this is nothing new. Many cities are doing it across the country. A lot of these big pharma companies told these doctors this was not addictive, very much like the tobacco lawsuits that you've seen. So that's exactly sort of what we're going after, because cities are really seeing it firsthand. And I mean, it's coming down to right homelessness. You know, drug addiction has really been impacting our city tremendously. I mean, we're like fourth in the country for overdoses, and that's something we have to really look at on a broad scale. That this is not going to get better; this is going to get worse.
But what do you think in terms of the responsibility of doctors and pharmacists to let people know that these mm-hmm. medicines that they're taking are highly addictive, and that the sooner that they can get off of them, the better off they will be, rather than prescribing 30 or 60 tablets. Mm-hmm. That by the time somebody's done with those tablets, they're enjoying mm-hmm. the results of those
yeah.
tablets.
I think you make a very good point, and I will say this. I think, and I'm not a doctor, but I would say we need to look at treating pain differently. I mean, if you remember going into any time you went into the hospital, they would say, hey, what's your pain level at? 1 to 10, right? And I remember if you said a 10, you know, they were giving you quite a bit of medication. I think we need to treat pain differently. Now, does that mean that there are people that don't need pain medicine? Absolutely not. We're not saying that. I think what we're saying is, you know, we have to take a more educated approach and a much more sensible approach when it comes to prescribing these. And I think there were doctors out there that prescribed, you know, just very frivolously. And we even saw that we had a huge pill mill case here, and we all know that. And I mean, how do you go back to a family that's lost a loved one from heroin, or you know, which a lot of opioids then turns into heroin? It's really hard to look someone in the face and say, we're not going to do anything about it. And at the city level, we have to take a stand, because things are changing so much in healthcare as well, from the state even to the federal government. Now cities are dealing with it. Mayors are dealing with it firsthand. And so we have to really look at it in a totally different perspective, and also look at healthcare on a regional approach. And it, as you know, many people know that I stood up for the ACA, things like that. But we've got to look. I think mayors are approaching these things so differently. And like I said, suing these pharma companies is not any different than there's over 100 cities and mayors that have already done it.
Now, you talk about Reno's ranking with drug overdoses. Are these overdoses from prescription pain medication that you get with your doctor, or are they from street drugs, including heroin? And if that was the case, it would seem like this lawsuit would be misplaced going after the makers of the opioids, if indeed our problem has to do with street drugs, including heroin.
Well, no, it's actually both. And you have to remember, a lot of times doctors will be very diligent in prescribing medication. But does that necessarily mean that people will follow that prescribed amount? Not necessarily. And that's what, you know, becomes difficult. And so I think, you know, doctors, they need to manage pain differently. Again, going back to, and I think a lot of them have felt that way, is saying, hey, you know, we just kept prescribing these because we were told they weren't addictive. We really, you know, believe that. And so I think it's an approach not only for pharma companies, but also with the physicians. And again, I want to stress, this doesn't mean that we want it to be limited how people that have serious pain treat their pain. But I want the pharmaceutical companies to educate differently. And I think that's important, to be responsible in their message, because they weren't in the past, just like tobacco wasn't.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mayor Sheedy when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the mayor of Reno, Hillary Sheevy. You got a housing crisis. you've got rents going up insanely, the cost of housing going up insanely. Yeah. I look at the housing starts. They're not close to what this area is going to need. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, see, I think that's something that you got to remember. We were the highest in foreclosures and unemployment. And this sort of Reno revival has happened very, very quickly. And I think in a lot of ways, we weren't prepared for some of this infrastructure and some of this housing that's definitely needed. I think, and I also want to stress, this isn't just the city of Reno. This is a lot of markets across the country. And yes, housing is going up. Average home price here is $360,000. Now, that's a lot easier to swallow than San Francisco at $1.5 million, right? But even still, it's not something that we're used to, and we want to continue to provide a quality of life. So this council has become extremely aggressive, and we're looking sort of at what we like to call the five-point plan, that are things that we think that can spur some housing that's desperately needed in the market. And part of that is to really look at the areas that we need to focus on, and that is affordable and workforce housing. And we think we can do that by changing some of the zoning requirements and density requirements, really focusing on infill developments because it's so much more affordable and it doesn't stress or strain our services that we need, like fire and police and things like that. And also, so there are some ways we can do that, and that could even be requiring less parking, like you see in cities, right? And again, zoning and density requirements, and also helping developers if they want to come in with projects that are for workforce and affordable housing, helping them amortize their payments so they have working capital to do such with. And then the other piece of that too is we don't have capital to give them, but we have to do more private and public partnerships. And one of the ways we can do that is the city of Reno has some land. So maybe we come in with the land and then they can come in with the project. So that could also be a way to do it. And so I think it's just a different approach. The other one is ADUs. And those are, area dwelling units, which is kind of interesting and happening quite a bit in other cities, certainly with baby boomers and students, right? And that's sort of those granny flats, or they add on to their existing homes. And I think if we make it much more accessible and change those zoning requirements to where you can do that more often, then we can alleviate some of the housing issues that we have. And then also working with the housing authority has been really important.
All right, let's take a break. More with Hillary Sheehy when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue the conversation with Hillary Sheehy. She's the mayor of Reno.
Currently, there's a lawsuit the city of Reno faces about sexual harassment going back to city manager Andrew Klinger. And it seems like sexual harassment has become such a hot topic across the nation in politics and with an entertainment. So, number one, where does your lawsuit, lawsuits against the city stand? And what do you think about another question? Should Reuben Kiewen resign from his congressional seat Nevada's representative?
Well, we were talking before, whenever you guys were setting up, we were talking about how fast sort of the media cycle is, right? And how it metabolizes. And it's so fast, and everything changes like overnight. It's like a firestorm, right? So so sometimes, I mean, it's just, it becomes to, is that really happening or is that fake news, right? Because it is so much. I would say, so right now with the lawsuit, that's something that I would have our city attorneys have to answer, because the last I heard, they were trying to make sure that our city attorney was not part of that process, that he had some conflicts of interest. And so they're still going back and forth with their attorney. And so so that's in the process, and it's still moving forward. I think it's unfortunate. Obviously, sexual harassment and sexual assault is incredibly serious. It's very, very serious. So, I mean, that's not for me to decide, you know, whether Ruben should step down or not. I'm focusing on my city, and I'm not focusing on anything else. And I just have to say it's really unfortunate. It's sort of heartbreaking. I feel sorry for everyone involved.
Let me ask you this. You know, you're a public figure. Ray and I are public figures. Anybody can say anything about any of the three of us mm-hmm. without a court of law, without representation, and it's going to be taken as fact.
Right.
Does that bother you on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the other thing.
And not just about sexual harassment in your case.
He said, she said, yeah. Right? And someone once told me you can protect yourself from a thief, but you can't protect yourself from a liar. But again, that doesn't mean they're lying, or, you know, I don't want anyone to misconstrue that. But I think it is really hard if someone says something about you. People say things about me all the time that are not true. I hear them all the time. And so, you know, that
what's
can
the
be
most
hard.
Egregious one you've heard?
You'll laugh. I heard that I have a glass eye. they're over here laughing.
I was just going to ask you that. They're
I think the one people ask me the most is if I'm gay. I hear that all the time. But yeah, I think the one that stood out the most was if I had a glass eye. So, I mean, you can ask me anything. I'll tell you the truth. But, you know, and I mean, that's the whole thing. You the burden of proof is on you, and you got to, you know, kind of, you know, be able to do that. And I guess, you know, the he said, she said, and but, you know, a lot of those, they can come up with a proof, you know, someone, there's a lot of times that someone's either overheard it or, you know, it was through an email or something, you know, to that aspect. So, and I think, you know, more investigations are happening, and they need to happen. I think investigations are really important, because you have to remember that can ruin someone's life, and that is their livelihood and families. And so it's very difficult.
Can we steal a little bit more time with you? Because we're going to go into
Rick
a second show if we can, all right?
Okay.
We'll fight Rick off.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, part two of our interview with Hillary Sheevy, the mayor of Reno. We'll see you then.